listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Aquarium Mania on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Roy Anong. Thank you very much for joining us. Keeping a marine aquarium is, in general, much more challenging than keeping a freshwater aquarium. However, nature shows, public aquaria, and visits to coral reefs continue to draw people to the marine aquarium hobby. Some prefer fish-only tanks, while others enjoy the greater challenge of caring for more elaborate mini-reef systems. As the marine portion of the aquarium hobby continues to increase, greater interest in sustainability of the industry has resulted in more oversight over wild capture and increased interest in marine ornamental aquaculture. Ocean's Reefs and Aquariums, better known in the industry as ORA, is the largest producer and seller of marine ornamentals in the world and is based in Fort Pierce, Florida. With us today is Dustin Dorton, Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of ORA. Dustin will explain more about the marine aquarium hobby, what's involved with marine production, and aquaculture's role in sustainability of the industry. So we'll be right back with Dustin after these messages.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
TeachersPetSessions.com.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Aquarium Mania on Pet Life Radio. With us today is Dustin Dorton, Vice President and Chief Operating Officer for Ocean's Reefs and Aquariums. Dustin, thanks very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Roy.
So a couple of the things I'd like to ask at the beginning is a little bit of kind of personal history. How did you first get interested in aquariums?
Oh, geez, I don't even know. Ever since I was a kid, I've had fish in one way or another. I know when I was really, really little, I had some goldfish in a bowl, and my father kept fish when I was young, and I remember one of my first tanks was like a 20-gallon hexagon tank that I always thought it was cool to add every kind of fish chemical laying around the house into. I remember specifically liking the blue color that all the ick medicines turned the water. And I think I actually ruined some furniture with that stuff too, if I remember right. But I've been keeping freshwater fish my entire life, and kind of for some reason when I was a teenager, I think 14, 15 years old, I just had a dream of working in this fish store that was located near my house, and I thought it would be a good idea, and it would help me get the job if I like memorized the scientific names of all of the fish that the store sold.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I made flashcards for that and everything. So, I don't know. It's just been something I've wanted to do my entire life.
Now, you're from California originally, right? Which part of California?
The Los Angeles area, specifically the San Fernando Valley.
Okay, and I think you had mentioned that you were really into freshwater planted tanks for a while before getting into marines.
Yeah, I think the last fish tank I had was a freshwater plant tank. It was a 100-gallon tank, and I've always really had an affinity towards that natural looking, you know, the more natural looking environment rather than just you know, kind of the fake stuff just loaded with fish. My interest in the marine tanks actually didn't even develop at all until I started working in a store in California, and it just kind of grew from there.
So how did you end up going from California to Fort Pierce? What was the events that kind of led up to that?
In 2000, it would have been 2000, I think. There was a conference in Fort Lauderdale, the MACNA conference, the Marine Aquarium Conference in North America, was in Fort Lauderdale that year, and I had convinced my boss that it was something I should go and do, and flew out here to Fort Lauderdale, and that's where I met some of the people from ORA, and you know, talking to them about what I was doing in California, which was a lot of stuff with growing stony corals, specifically Acropora, Monopora. It was still relatively new at the time. I guess not everybody was doing it then like today. So I met the ORA people, and they were getting serious about expanding into a coral propagation project here. And about probably a month after I got back, I got an email from someone here at ORA asking if I would ever consider moving out here, and answer was yes. And just a few months later, I was living in Florida.
So did you like the change, or how did you like Florida versus California?
It's different. Coming from LA is kind of the big city. You can pretty much do anything you want, anything you can imagine. Where we're at here in Florida, in Fort Pierce, it's a little.
It's a big city.
You've been here, Roy.
Yeah, I know.
it's far from a big city. It's kind of a sleepy little retirement area with not much going on. But you know, there's a lot of things I really like about Florida. It's allowed me to kind of pursue one of my my current hobby is growing orchids, actually.
And, okay, I think I've seen some of your pictures online. So
yeah, the climate here is a lot more conducive to that than it is in California, and that's kind of my passion here.
So now, what are your duties at ORA? What's kind of your big picture, and then maybe day-to-day sort of duties?
Big picture would be I pretty much oversee all of our the production on the fish and coral side of things here in Florida. I also oversee the operations of our overseas facility in the Marshall Islands. I'm actually preparing to leave for there tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
And I guess that would be kind of a broad overview. Some of the other big things I do here, I'm pretty heavily involved in the sales department and very, very much so involved in just our general facilities maintenance and new building design and modifications to existing buildings. Now on a daily basis, geez, what do I do? Where do I start? seems like 20 million emails. That's the that's probably the biggest thing. But mostly it's just walking to the hatcheries, checking on everything, making sure there's no problems with the fish that day. Seeing what's new and exciting that's happening in the larval room. Checking in on how say some of our new whatever newest broodstock fish we have going. Seeing how they're doing, any new spawns, anything exciting like that. Similar stuff in corals, seeing what's growing good in the greenhouse, what we have, that's doing really well and, maybe coming up for release, for sale soon. And then just spending the rest of the day working out problems and planning new ways to bring more products to market.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty busy. So in terms of, I guess, ORA, can you give us, for the listeners, maybe a brief overview of the company? You don't have to get crazy detail, but maybe just to give them an idea of the scope of the animals you work with and the size of the operation, that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. Well, ORA is primarily a fish farm, a saltwater fish farm. And we also operate as our own wholesaler. So we distribute all of the fish and corals that we grow to retail stores and other wholesalers throughout the United States and also throughout most of Europe and several Asian countries and South America and a number of other places. Our primary focus is on saltwater fish. Corals is a small but growing aspect of our business. The most common fish that we raise, probably the fish that we're most well known for, is the is fish in the clownfish group. We raise nearly every commonly available species of clownfish. We also breed the other major fish groups that we breed would be the gobies and blennies, as well as the dottybacks or basslets or pseudochromis, whatever you may want to call them. Those are probably the three major groups. And then there's some other ones that we raise, little bits of here and there, cardinal fish, some seahorses, some other basslets. And then as far as corals, we're working with mostly hard corals. So that's going to be your the Acropora, Montipora, Postlepora, Stylophora, the real common hardy, fast-growing reef-building species. And then we do some soft corals as well, just more beginner-oriented corals like Xenia, some of the leather corals, so Cinularia, Sarcophyton, things like that. I think just actually over the last couple of days, I've been working on trying to total up just how many species we have in production and have raised, and it was actually quite a bit higher than most of us thought. We counted up 61 species that we've successfully raised here.
Wow.
Fish go.
Right.
And
that's amazing.
Almost all of those are still currently in production. And that's not including any of the hybrids or special varieties of fish that we raised, and we really didn't go into too much detail on that. And just off the top of our head, counted an additional 20 varieties or hybrids on top of those 61 species.
Wow,
so we're probably pretty close to 100 different fish.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then all the inverts too is probably a huge number.
Corals is somewhere around. As far as what we have on the market currently, they're probably somewhere around 50 to 60. As far as the number that we're currently growing and tracking in our inventory system, it's pretty close to another 100 animals.
Okay.
100 species. So it's pretty it's definitely bigger than even I realized until just a few days ago.
And I know your market obviously would be primarily U.S. I assume you also sell quite a bit overseas.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we have customers in strange places. We actually have a couple big customers in Russia. That's been a new thing for us over the last couple of years, and actually maybe 2 years or so. And see, where else do we ship to? That's kind of strange. Russia's probably the one that surprises me the most. There's a few other Eastern European countries now are just starting to gain interest in aquarium fish and saltwater aquacultured aquarium fish now.
That's great. Yeah, you definitely have. I know you and your company have a pretty great reputation worldwide and definitely in the U.S. So it's well deserved. I want to talk to you a little bit more about maybe picking one or two species and talking a little bit about production, and also maybe get some of your thoughts on wild capture and aquaculture and how they are kind of intermingled in the hobby. But first, I think we'll have to take a short break and listen to some messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Aquarium Mania on Pet Life Radio. With us today is Dustin Dorton with Oceans, Reefs, and Aquariums. We're going to continue talking a little bit more about the marine hobby and a little bit more about some of the production there at ORA. So Dustin, I don't know if many people are really aware of how any of these fish are being produced in aquaculture. Can you give us maybe a really brief insight into maybe one of these species? How about a clownfish? When you guys are breeding a clownfish, what's involved with breeding a clownfish?
Okay, yeah, it's a relatively easy example to start with. If you take, say, the most common fish, the false pericula, or the Oscillaris is a species in that clownfish. The way the whole process starts is you have your broodstock fish, which is your adult male and female pair, and we house those guys in one of our two broodstock rooms, where they get very intensive feeding. Usually as often as four times a day, and we feed various different things. Now, not foods that you would normally be using on a home aquarium. A lot of it is kind of custom blended fresh seafood type items. And those clownfish will spawn. Some pairs will spawn every week. Some, maybe only once a month or so. And clownfish are known as the demersal spawners. So they're going to lay their eggs on some type of substrate. In nature, that would be usually on a rock located near their host sea anemone. In our case, that we use regular ceramic tiles actually for the substrate for them to lay their eggs on.
So now, I think some folks may not be aware of that, but so do you guys need? Do you put sea anemones in all your breeder tanks then, or do they need them?
No, actually, they don't. We don't use sea anemones on any of our clownfish. In our standard grow out area, I'm sorry, in our standard broodstock areas, in our coral greenhouse, we do have some sea anemones which we're trying to propagate that do have clownfish in them, but it doesn't seem to make any difference at all as far as their spawning behavior, even with some of the more sensitive species.
Okay.
So definitely not a mandatory thing, and they will live very long. Very, very long and healthy lives without a sea anemone.
Okay, sorry for interrupting. Go continue.
Yeah, no problem. Once the clownfish spawn on the tile, it's left in the tank for the parents to care for it for usually around a week. It tends to be species dependent. During that time, the clownfish the parents are actually going to tend to that nest. They're going to constantly kind of fan it with their fins to keep fresh water, moving over it and keep anything from settling and fouling on it. And when the nest is ready for hatching, it's moved into one of our larval rearing tanks, where the spawn hatches off in the tank and feeds on microscopic food items. It's kind of just the tiniest little organism called a rotifer, which is a food item that we enrich in order to deliver good nutrients to the to these larval fish. When the fish are just larvae, they really don't resemble a clownfish in any way. They're just a little dark-colored, almost black, floating. I mean, it just looks like a little streak with eyes, and it's not very impressive by any means. But over a period of maybe about a week and a half or so after they hatch out of the eggs, they begin going through a process called metamorphosis, where their stripes start growing in, and they start to truly resemble a little miniature version of a clownfish. At that size, they're probably around a quarter of an inch long. Maybe a little larger, and at around a month and a half, they're ready to be moved out of those larval tanks as little miniature clownfish, and from there they're moved out to our grow out area, where they spend the next 6 months to a year of their life before they reach market size.
That's great. So it sounds like you must have needs for quite a lot of space for a grow out. I guess in terms of volume of water or size for grow out, do you guys have any idea roughly how much tank space you need for grow out?
Yeah. You touched on that earlier, and I didn't finish answering that question for you. I guess you're getting into just how big is ORA?
Yes, exactly.
ORA is spread out over I believe it's a 7-acre piece of land. We have 1, 2, 5, 9. I think we have about 11 hatchery buildings that we're currently occupying. Each one of those buildings they're basically Quonset hut style facilities with metal roofs on them. And I think we have around 1 million gallons of, was it half a million? I think it's around 1 million gallons of total water volume here. It's a pretty large facility. Most of our systems are in the 5,000 gallon plus range, some significantly larger than that.
Wow. Yeah, definitely a very big operation. In terms of, I guess, maybe touching a little bit on the corals, can you give a real, brief overview on, I guess, what you guys are doing with the corals, maybe, a little bit about the base and maybe some of the basic kind of propagation methods?
Sure. Actually, let me go back on that for a second. It's half a million gallons, not a million.
That's a pretty
big difference there.
It's still big.
For the corals are grown in a completely naturally lit greenhouse. It's just like you'd see up north any place for growing plants or vegetables. Only we've kind of customized this greenhouse. It was purpose built for growing corals. Inside the greenhouse, we have 4 separate systems. Again, each in the 5,000 gallon range, and these. The systems are just packed almost entirely, like every square inch, with hard and soft corals. The process for growing them is quite a bit simpler than clownfish. We don't rely on sexual reproduction for anything that we raise. It's all asexual reproduction through fragmentation. That basically means that we are taking big corals and just simply breaking them up, turning them into new smaller pieces, and just waiting for them to regrow out to market size.
Now, how long would that take, I guess, normally, if you're propagating like a couple months longer?
One thing that that ORA has done different from a lot of other people who are out there trying to grow corals is we don't bring in large quantities of corals from the wild or any other source and just cut them up and let them grow a little bit and then sell them as an actual aquacultured animal. We don't really think that's the right way to go about actually culturing a coral. What we do is we'll start off with frequently just a single piece of one coral that we'll get sometimes from the wild, but normally from another hobbyist or a public aquarium, and we'll grow that coral up, and as soon as it say that coral doubles in size, we're going to cut it into two pieces, and as it grows a little bit more, we're going to cut those two pieces into four pieces. And then it just keeps growing exponentially from there until we have enough little pieces in inventory to provide us with a constant supply for our customers, but also enough to trim back down once again and make a new fresh batch. The timing for that can vary, say turning just one new coral into enough pieces where we can start selling it can take as little as 2 years to as long as I would say maybe 5 to 6 years. We've had some pieces that have taken that long to get to get ready to go. It's a slow process.
So what was the biggest challenge, I guess, when you were setting up the coral facility?
It was a little bit of a learning experience switching over from growing corals under artificial lighting. So it would be metal halide and you know, VHO fluorescence. In California, that's how I was raising them in California, to a natural sunlight-based system where you're dealing with seasonal and even daily fluctuations in light intensities, and you have temperature problems with the sunlight, and then as well you tend to have more algae issues. It's a little more difficult to control algae once it gets a foothold when you're dealing with sunlight.
So is it easier or hard? I guess it's harder than to raise it in natural conditions. Is that what you're sort of saying?
You know, I would say that it's harder. It's definitely a lot more work.
Okay.
To raise them in a greenhouse. You don't necessarily have light bulbs to change, but you've got a lot more algae that has to be constantly maintained. And it's really difficult to maintain consistent coloration throughout the year. You know, our greenhouse now is oriented to maximize the amount of sun that the corals get in the wintertime. But, you know, even here in Florida, starting about this time of year into early spring with the short days and the sun, real low on the horizon, it really takes its toll on coloration and growth.
I understand, yeah. So I guess, we've talked a little bit about the hobby in terms of, what's good and what's, what you guys consider maybe the right approach. And obviously there's been a lot of discussion about the impact of collection as well on, the environment. So what are some of your thoughts on collection and aquaculture in reference to the hobby as a whole?
I personally don't have any significant issues with wild collection of fish and corals, as long as it's done in a responsible and regulated manner. I think it's an important source of income for families in the areas where most of the fish in the aquarium trade are found. I think aquaculture is an important. I think aquaculture is important to the aquarium hobby because it's questionable how long the activity of wild collection is going to stay sustainable for, as other environmental factors may come into play with the health of the reefs.
Right.
And I think when I look at how many clownfish and dottybacks and things we sell, it really makes you wonder, how could the wild even possibly produce this many fish?
Right.
And I think when you see it from an aspect like that, you begin to realize the importance of what ORA and other fish farmers are doing.
So you mentioned the Marshall Islands portion of ORA. What can you maybe give us a little insight into what you guys are doing over there?
Yeah, sure. In 2003, ORA purchased an existing giant clam farm that was located on the island of Majuro in the Marshall Islands, and the facility is located on a little 1 acre piece of land, like right on the ocean. I mean, there's a seawall that separates the farm from the ocean, and there's huge Pacific Island waves just beating into it all day long. It's really close to the water. The facility is a full open flow through system. There's two large 5 horsepower pumps that are constantly drawing in water, straight from the ocean into the clam tanks, and then it goes straight back in into the ocean again.
Okay.
At the facility, we're only raising native species out there, so that that type of flow through system is not a concern from any kind of environmental reasons. But the species we're growing out there are, we're doing several species of giant clams, the most popular ones are the Maxima clams, which are the real colorful purples and blues and green ones that you always see in pictures. And then the other one, probably the second highest production, is the Squamosa clam, which is similar to the Duresa. It gets a little larger and isn't quite as colorful. In addition to those, we also raise a number of soft and stony coral species.
Oh, that's great. So it must be at least a little bit enjoyable when you go out there to check the facility out.
Yeah, it's a little change of pace from Fort Pierce. It makes Fort Pierce feel like a big city.
That's great.
But it's nice out there. It's a unique facility.
Well, that's pretty impressive, and I definitely want to thank you again for taking time out. I think we're out of time. I may have to get you back on the show to talk a little bit more about ORA and about the marine hobby. Definitely would like to thank you, Dustin, and our producers here at Pet Life Radio and Aquarium Mania for making this show possible. Is there anything, Dustin, you want to talk about real quickly here at the end? Any ORA-related information or such?
Let me thank you guys for having me on. I haven't done one of these interviews before, so hopefully it went well. And if anybody'd like to learn more about ORA, you can visit our website at www.orafarm.com.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks very much. All right. Take care and enjoy your trip. Have a safe trip there and definitely back.
Thanks.
If you are interested, I definitely want to encourage any of our listeners to go to the Pet Life Radio Aquarium Mania blog. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email me at roy@petliferadio.com. So until next time, visit your pet stores, consider keeping fish, marine fish as well as freshwater fish, and we'll hope to get more and more of you interested in the hobby and expanding your horizons with aquarium fish in the future. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.